News. I'm Brian Clark. Today could bring significant news in former President Trump's legal battles. Final arguments are expected in Georgia over whether District Attorney Fani Willis can stay on the case involving election interference amid allegations she had an inappropriate relationship with a prosecutor. The former president's expected in court in Florida for a scheduling conference.
This hearing will determine when Trump actually stands trial on the charges of mishandling classified documents. It was originally scheduled for May, but it's almost certain today to be pushed. Special Counsel Jack Smith is suggesting July. That would conflict with the Republican National Convention, so Trump's side says August. But really, Trump is hoping this never goes to trial at all.
That's ABC's Aaron Kotursky. Fire crews in Texas say they've made progress on the largest wildfire in state history. It's more than a million acres. And in the Sierra Nevadas of California, the snow has begun to fall. There could be up to 12 feet this weekend. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. $32 million cut from Wisconsin State Universities is now restored. The Joint Finance Committee put the money back yesterday. Republican Representative Tony Kurtz.
It's not that we don't want to fund them. We can fund them until the calcs come home. But fiscally, it doesn't make sense because we simply do not have the students coming into the system.
The $32 million is going from diversity efforts to workforce development. Three Republican state senators now live in the same Northeast Wisconsin district under new maps for the legislature going into effect this year. Rob Coles tells Channel 11 in Green Bay he plans to move from his longtime home in Alloway to try to stay in office. Eric Wimberger plans to stay put, and Andre Jacques might run for Congress. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle Lacrosse, I'm Jimmy Kuska. A bill to ban the sale of PFAS chemicals and everyday household items in Wisconsin was introduced by Senator Brad Paff this week. The bill, if it became law, wouldn't take effect until 2028. Another bill would give the DNR power to enforce DHS groundwater PFAS standards, as well as provide grants for testing and cleanup of public and private water wells. A Republican-backed proposal for PFAS cleanup is expected to be vetoed by Governor Evers, due in part to how it limits the DNR's enforcement ability. Fire conditions remain elevated in southwestern Wisconsin because of ongoing drought and current windy conditions, as well as a lack of plant growth this time of year. 86 wildfires have happened in Wisconsin so far this year, including three yesterday. Through the end of February last year, there had only been seven wildfires across the state. The DNR says to use caution when burning anything outdoors, as it's still dry and the high winds could spread fires quickly. Burn bans are in place in several areas. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
The Bucks get another win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Hornets in Charlotte 111-99. How nice was it to see the Bucks pass the ball around on offense? Doc Rivers.
It sure is nice. You need your stars to be the guys to make the right plays, and they did that. So Giannis and Dame started it. And, you know, Brooke tonight, extra passes. Bobby, extra passes. Pat Connaughton walked by me in the third quarter and said, is this what you mean by good to great?
College hoops, the Badgers men's team hosts number 13th ranked Illinois tomorrow at noon at the Kohl Center. Women's basketball, Iowa's Caitlin Clark announcing she will enter the WNBA draft this year. Baseball, the Brewers beat by the Rangers 7-5. The NFL scouting combine continues in Indy. Clemson defensive back Nate Wiggins, ranked one of the best, asked if he'd been interviewed yet by Green Bay.
The Packers, yes sir. Their defense is like what I like. Man to man, press man, following the best receiver, lock him up. That's what I like to do.
Defensive back Nate Wiggins with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It's going to be sunny, warm, and a little breezy throughout the upcoming weekend. And with the low humidity and all the dry stuff out there, there will be an elevated grassland fire danger risk. Be careful with fire this weekend. Otherwise, sunny, 55, a little breezy today. Tonight, down to 37. 61 Saturday, sunshine, 70 by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
The Todd Alma Show.
Green Bay's a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Mississippi to our left, Granddad on the right. We're right in the middle. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, Gaza spiraling, unprecedented humanitarian catastrophe. You know, I did a little research, Sandy, and in the war in Ukraine and Russia, 2 years and counting, 10,000 Ukrainian citizens have been killed. In a full-out war for 2 years with the second most powerful military in the world, the Russian military, and in Ukraine, 10,000 citizens have been killed. In Gaza, in 4 months, 30,000 and counting, Sandy. And famine is setting in. And yesterday, 100 citizens killed while trying to get food. And I have to say that our nation has to play a bigger role, even though the rest of the world is saying we have to address this. Our nation has to, you know, have a stronger voice in what is happening here, Sandy. What transpired yesterday with a bunch of people who are starving to death, and you send in a few trucks, and people lose all humanity, Sandy, when they're starving to death, right?
It becomes it was turned into a mass riot. A hungry people, just crazed to get to food. I mean, that's more a statement of the horrible circumstance that exists there than it is that actual event, you know. I think that what America needs to do is save Israel from itself. I think they need to try and intervene. I think Netanyahu is leading Israel down a terrible path that is going to expose Israel to much more risk than the kind of danger that he is trying to eradicate in Hamas. I think that really, literally, I think Israel needs to get saved from itself. And I think there's a substantial number of Israelis who would agree with that. I think that what we've got now is a government that's acting through its emergency powers, war powers, in a manner that is horrifying. And it's going to be basically putting Israel into in a difficult situation with respect to the rest of the world. That's not where Israel needs to be. You know, Israel doesn't need to be in that position.
Sandy, these numbers are horrific. Again, in 4 months, 30,000 citizens have been killed, contrast to a full-out war in Ukraine, 10,000 citizens. One citizen is too much, but clearly to see what is transpiring and the world is calling and, you know, for something to be done. And the only nation that can really do anything to kind of change this, Sandy, is our nation. If anybody has any leverage on Israel, it's the United States of America.
I guess, you know, I'm not privy exactly to the extent, but I'm confident that we have a great deal to say to Israel about the kind of support that we might give them or not give them. You know, I'm a great fan of Israel, but I really fear for Israel in that I think, like I said, I think its government is overplaying its hand to the point where it's going to put itself into something closer to a pariah status rather than the status that it needs and deserves in the world.
Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You know, what are your thoughts on what is happening in Israel and in Gaza and what continues to happen as the rest of the world continues to say, hey, you know, these people are starving to death. And again, innocent people are starving to death and being slaughtered. And yet, you know, we it's almost as if we don't see them as people. I know it's not a popular thing to discuss, but for heaven's sakes, we have to do a better job. Joe Biden himself is really, you know, at risk of not being reelected president of the United States if he's not willing to do something. And as you stated, Sandy, he's probably limited in what he can do and can't do. But he's got to be willing to speak out publicly and say, now, is it Netanyahu, Sandy? Is it the fact that we allow one man? It's similar to what's happening in our nation with Donald Trump. There's this guy who's able to control all these other people, one guy, and yet people follow him. It's the same kind of with Netanyahu. He's one guy, Sandy.
Well, he's been in power for almost 15 years, off and on. He clearly has the capacity to understand how to pull the levers of power to secure it, but he's always had a fragile grip on power. You know, he's only had limited periods of time where he's had sort of something close to a consensus support amongst the Israeli people. So it's interesting. It's what's happening around the world where conservatives are able to keep a grip on government without being necessarily reflecting a majority view, but they reflect a powerful powerful interest group that's able to exert its power.
Let me ask you, long term, can Israel stand on its own? I mean, no nation is an island. No man is an island. No nation is an island. And so, you know, where this thing is headed, and people will certainly be talking about it long after, you know, this thing ends. But when there are still hostages, Sandy, who are jeopardized by decisions that are being made, it's almost as if willing to sacrifice hostages. When our nation is trying to, I know Joe Biden had and the United States had said several days ago they were getting close to a ceasefire. And apparently that just has not come to fruition.
Oh, yeah. I don't think hostages can be the source of public policy. And I think the United States has long taken a position that we won't negotiate over hostages. And I think that's the right position to take. So, but I think that the issues associated with the policies of Israel and our policies vis-a-vis Israel should range far beyond this question of the hostages. And it should really deal with the situation. And part of the reason there are 30,000 deaths is the situation in Gaza that existed prior to this problem. Okay, Gaza has been a problem ever since there has been Gaza, cordoned off the way it is, and populated as crowdedly as it is, and as sequestered as it is. And so that's the heart of the problem. And what we're seeing now are all the symptoms of the problem, and we need to solve it. And Israel, of all countries, needs to be a country that relies on the goodwill of the nations in the world. Because, like I said, no country is an island. Well, particularly Israel can't afford to be an island, isolated island, in the environment in which it exists. And you would think that they would be doing everything they could to create an environment in the area where they live that would be sustainable. And my fear is that what Israel is involved with now is not a sustainable course of action.
You know, Sandy, and as you've stated on more than one occasion, Benjamin Netanyahu has many who disagree with him, and they have disagreed with him publicly. And they have said, as you stated, that this is causing more damage to long-term damage to our nation, than it's worth it. And many have basically said we need to try to figure out a way, an end game. You always use the term end game. Sandy, what is the end game?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think there is a sustainable end game in the course that they are currently on. And that's why I think that the United States, being as pro and supportive of Israel as they are, needs to save Israel's government. They need to save Israel from Israel right now, you know, the Israeli government. And they need to help moderate and temper the response that's being exercised now, and to work instead in the direction of a long-range solution. Everybody's talking about a two-state solution. The only person I know that denies the notion of a two-state solution categorically is Netanyahu.
844-967-2789. It's Friday. It's Friday. It's my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
800-281-8193.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM WLCX, and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What do you see? The sun is rising, most definitely.
Hey Sandy, I gotta get an A++++ for the music this morning, right?
Good, it's good music. Good music. Yep, absolutely.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number, Sandy. Congressional leaders reach a tentative deal to avoid government shutdown, but Ukraine aid stalls. You know, you just kind of hit the nail on the head so many different times. Every time they come up with these stopgap measures, they wait until it looks as if and lead people to believe that the government is going to shut down. Now, these are people who can't create any policy. But when their backs are against the wall and they're really concerned that, hey, if we don't get this done, all of us may lose our jobs, they can somehow come up with a stopgap. Why? After I'm a little tired of Congress not being able to sit down and hammer out a budget. It's always a couple months at a time. You know, what do you say about that, Sandy?
Well, it's broken. You know, that all they can create is drama. There's no policy coming out of Washington, just drama. And unfortunately, the lack of policy is policy. You know, for instance, freezing the Ukrainian aid is definitely an international policy statement of huge significance, and it puts America into a very difficult position with all of its allies, and the credibility of America is at stake. But it doesn't seem to matter because it's going to be victimized by the paralysis of our partisan political processes. And the same is true with respect to our budget. There's lots of arm waving about deficits, right? You can't have deficits, but there's no specificity about programmatic changes to be made and prioritizations to be made to assure that deficits might be smaller. Right now, conservatives are all talking again broadly about how in the next appropriation bills that are necessary to avoid the next shutdown. That there needs to be deficit spending reductions, okay? But where? You know, what is the priority? What's the discussion the American people need, which is what's important to the American people? And it can't be an across-the-board cut of expenditures because that won't work. There's plenty of programs that require expansion, not reduction. And so, you know, they just need to be responsible, which is apparently not what our elected officials are very good about being right now, is responsible.
Well,
to look at priorities and to come up with programs.
Well, you know, Sandy, I wonder if you, and our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. If you had a chance, what programs would you cut? I mean, some want to somehow look at a way to cut Medicare. Some, and we're talking about people on the right, some of them want to see cuts in and child care and what they consider welfare programs. I heard Ron Johnson the other day. We've got to stop. We can't afford these programs. We've got to cut these programs. You know, as you stated, Sandy, what programs are you talking about? Why won't he specify?
Right. And that's it's easy to talk generally, right? Nobody thinks that deficits are a good idea per se. But then the question is, okay, what are we going to do to avoid them? And what are the specific programs? And how do we start prioritizing what our government does? I mean, there are fixes, but some of the fixes involve increased revenue. It isn't just reducing. It isn't just reducing expenditures. You know, we reduced revenue by a significant chunk during the Trump years with the Tax Reduction Act then. And the fact is that our deficits would be appreciably smaller today if we hadn't done that, okay? So that was a big contributor to deficits.
But Sandy, go ahead.
Well, and, you know, for instance, Medicare, fixes for Medicare. Well, some of it might be increasing the premiums paid by those who receive Medicare who can afford to pay higher premiums. You know, there are fixes to these things, and they aren't all reducing expenditures. And they certainly are not just a broad arm wave of reducing all these expenditures. And if we're going to look at big programs, we better look at the defense budget as well. And we better look at the foreign policies that lead to our defense budget.
You just stole my thunder. You know, when you talk about the defense budget, they're going to be increasing the defense budget. There's no question. They're talking about the fact that we've got to replace all the munitions that we have given to Ukraine. We've got to increase the budget. They're talking about the fact that we don't have the munitions that we need to have in reserve in case something happens. We've got to increase the military budget. We've got to increase the military budget at every turn, Sandy, in the face of these deficits, which means we got to cut. Something has to be cut. That's the reality of what the debate is, Sandy. But who has the courage to say the military is the one place that we've got to look at? The waste in it, right? If we just looked at the waste.
Well, the military budget's gone up, 35% in the past short period of years, okay? It's gone up faster than... And so the military budget goes up, and it's financed how? With increased deficits, because we haven't increased our taxes in order to do these things. So, you know, we talk about these things like, okay, let's increase the military budget because we have to. Okay, well, let's finance that. But they don't talk about financing it. So it's a deficit financed program. In fact, all of the programs, many of the new programs that we carry out are essentially deficit financed because we don't also have revenue programs to match them. Okay. And so we need to talk about the revenue side, and it can't only be tax cuts. The only kind of revenue actions we've taken in the last 10 or 12 years have all been revenue reduction.
Well, you know, Sandy, we're going to talk a little bit on the other side about the fact that there are, you know, thousands and tens of thousands of billionaires and others who have not even paid any taxes or even done their taxes over extended periods of time. You keep talking about the only way to address these things are revenue. And yet Republicans don't want to address revenue. They don't want additional revenue, and all they want to do is cut. 844-967-2789 is the number. And I'm kind of, you know, I think the American people, Sandy, don't even understand the magnitude of this and what's coming. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, in Up Next News, Weather, and Sports.
Thank you.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A new bill in Congress would give state and local governments the final say about resettling refugees anywhere. 75 refugees plan to move to the Eau Claire area this year. Congressman Tom Tiffany says only a handful of local officials knew about it early on. His bill would give them more power to stop resettlements. Senator Tammy Baldwin tells Civic Media's Chad Holmes that makers of household products are fleecing consumers.
And it's hard for consumers to see, you know, they're paying the same price they did last time, but they're getting 2 ounces less or, you know, just less product for the same price.
Baldwin's Shrinkflation Prevention Act would empower lawyers and regulators to fight back. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
1490 The Eagle, La Crosse. I'm Jimmy Cuska. Fire conditions remain elevated in southwestern Wisconsin because of ongoing drought and current windy conditions, as well as a lack of plant growth this time of year. 86 wildfires have happened in Wisconsin so far this year, including 3 yesterday. Through the end of February last year, there had only been 7 wildfires across the state. The DNR says to use caution when burning anything outdoors, as it's still dry and the high winds could spread fires quickly. Burn bans are in place in several areas. La Crosse's local Badger Honor Flight chapter, Freedom Honor Flight, announced the dates for its 2 flights this year. The flights will take place on May 4th and September 21st. The flights, which take military veterans to Washington, D.C., have a waiting list of about 600 people, and each flight can accommodate about 100 veterans. Donations to continue providing the local Honor Flight program are encouraged and can be made at freedomhonorflight.org. The forecast this weekend calls for sunshine and near-record temperatures by Sunday. No precipitation expected.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Rocker Liam Gallagher had some choice words for fellow Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees. Using poor grammar, Gallagher claimed he's, quote, done more for rock and roll than all them clowns on that board, referring to his fellow nominees. Rumor has it that later he even threw in a double negative. By the way, his fellow nominees he supposedly towers over? Peter Frampton, The Dave Matthews Band, Kool and the Gang, Foreigner, Lenny Kravitz, Ozzy Osbourne, Jane's Addiction, Mary Kay Blige, and Cher. Liam Gallagher was part of Oasis, by the way. Fact that that needed to be said, well, you get it. In a related story, only The Gang was initially nominated to the Hall, which surprised frontman Cool. Eventually, The Gang put enough pressure on the powers that be, and Cool was nominated as well. This is reminiscent of when Gladys Knight and 2 of the Pips were left off the ballot, and only 1 Pip got in. Here's to the hardworking backup singers of the world. We salute you. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It's going to be sunny, warm, and a little breezy throughout the upcoming weekend. And with the low humidity and all the dry stuff out there, there will be an elevated grassland fire danger risk. Be careful with fire this weekend. Otherwise, sunny, 55, a little breezy today. Tonight, down to 37, 61 Saturday, sunshine, 70 by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
After my wife died, I felt like I lost everything, including my love of fishing. But one day, my granddaughter called, and I realized I still had a lot to look forward to. I got referred to a psychiatrist who explained depression can happen to anyone. Getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. I just wish it made me better at fishing.
Mental health care is working for Diego. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
What La Crosse and Western Wisconsin is talking about, you're soaring with the Eagle. Eagle 1490 WLCX.
We'll be right back.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to the phone lines and Susan from Kenosha. Hey, good morning to you, Susan.
Oh, good morning. I just love you, Sandy, and you. You put things into perspective. And, Sandy, I'm currently reading a book on Alexander Hamilton, and he talked about the various problems, particularly what we're going through right now. But I have a solution to our problem. Since Congress can't put together and work together to put a bill that benefits people, until they put a bill through that benefits people, we cut their salary in half. Just think how much money we'll save. And then, if they continue on this way, we will take away their health insurance. Let them go and get a part-time job to supplement their health insurance. How's that? I think that's a very good idea.
Hey, Susan, the only thing is they would have to pass those laws themselves.
They have a stranglehold on us. We can't do nothing to them, and they sit there and they waste our time and our money on frivolous things.
Oh, we can't. We wouldn't. Susan, we can do something. Sandy, can't we not elect them?
Yeah, we can unelect them. Unfortunately, we aren't very vigilant. The process has sort of neutralized us or neutered us in our capacity to stand up for ourselves. And to that extent, you know, Tom's admonition to us is right. We really have to take more seriously the responsibility we as each citizen have to vote our interests.
Yeah. Hey, Susan, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Tom, go ahead.
Hey, Earl. First, just want to say that when anybody tells you that government is horrible or government is the problem, please, people, don't vote that person into office. That's a person that's not going to work very hard for government or for we the people. Just remember that. Second, Susan just brought up a really great point, Alexander Hamilton. And again, Sandy, I would just ask if you can tell us where we can find that quote that you gave last time, because I want to be able to find it on Google. And everybody out there, please, go to selectacandidatequiz.com. It's basically a quiz that tells you from the policies that are out there who it is that you should be voting for. And we do have an axis of evil. It's Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin, and Benjamin Netanyahu. And honestly, the people that are going to benefit from anything that's going on right now is going to be Iran and if we don't stop this from happening in Gaza.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, there is a broader swath of people in this country who are not identifying with Democrat or Republican. They're identifying with independent. And so you would think that both Democrats and Republicans would start realizing that their numbers are getting smaller and smaller, and more Americans are not enamored with either party. And
there's a mathematical irony to that, though. You see, as people don't identify as Democrats, they no longer become the base for who it is that a Democrat has to appeal to get the nomination. And more similarly and more strikingly, the same is true on the Republican side. The more moderates decide that they are no longer identifying as Republicans, the more important it is for a Republican candidate to appeal to the conservative base. And we're watching that happen, aren't we? We're watching candidates appeal to what is called the base, which is the majority of the party that they're in that they need to persuade in order to get nominated, not to get elected, but to get nominated. And for both parties, as independents become a larger share of the total electorate, that base is more disconnected from what it will take to get elected nationally than it is, but it's only connected then to what it takes to get a nomination. And that's been the irony of our politics, and that's what's been happening to increase the partisanship of our politics, is politicians are increasingly appealing to a base, which is not by any means a majority of the nation. It's only a majority of their shrinking party.
You know, Sandy, I was reading this this article from, of all people, George Will. Remember George Will?
I do.
And George Will, say what you will about George Will, no pun intended.
But and you, I will.
but George Will is a word master. And George Will, when he speaks, you know, unless, you know, unless you're Sandy Williams, you know, you got to decipher all those terms that he uses. But he was pretty clear in what he was pointing to in today's Washington Post, Sandy, about what is happening with parties. This year, and let me read a quick paragraph that George Will said. In 1920, the phrase smoke-filled room entered America's political lexicon when Republican politicians in Blackstone hotel rooms two blocks from Grant Park bestowed the nomination on Ohio Senator Warren G. Harding. His 26.2% margin of victory in the popular vote is the largest since widespread popular voting began in the 1820s. Evidently, the people liked the candidacy hatched in the smoke. This year, Republicans might, for the first time, give a third consecutive nomination to the same candidate. The GOP is a plucky party, undaunted by the fact that its hero has lost a popular vote twice, the second time by 7 million votes, as he was losing 6 of 7 swing states. 6 of 7 swing states, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, all but North Carolina, which he carried by 1.3%. Time was contested. States were more numerous. So Sandy, we forget what, you know, Donald Trump and what he has wrought for Republicans, right? Even though you still see, and people keep talking as if, you know, Donald Trump is a shoo-in, Donald Trump has not really appealed to enough of the American people. Do you think today is any different? Do you think this time around, what has Donald Trump said that makes it possible that people who rejected him before are now all of a sudden going to see Donald Trump as the panacea?
Well, you know, we've had two different elections based on the Electoral College, okay? And the Electoral College is different than the popular vote because Donald Trump proved that in 2016 by losing the popular vote and winning the Electoral College. And however, this is all manifest proof of what I was talking about. We have candidates who are appealing to a base in their party that does not reflect a majority of the country by any stretch of the imagination. And the smoke-filled room, those guys used to be trying to predict what it is that would accomplish the national objective of winning an election. Okay. And so they compromised. They put forth candidates that they believed had the veritas to accomplish a national victory. Okay. They got beyond the notion of a base. This notion of a base has really become much more important in the context of elections in which advertisements and money are what hold sway, not the party. Parties have lost their capacity to name nominees in large respect. And nominees basically make themselves. They go out and raise money. they develop a popular image, and they win campaigns in primary states. And no longer do we have smoke-filled rooms. And maybe that might be kind of ironic, but it might be to our detriment.
You know, Sandy, Mitch McConnell has decided to step
away. Speaking of smoke-filled rooms, huh?
So can you imagine what happens, the fight that's going to take place in the Republican Party with MAGA, who has been waiting on this? They've been wanting Mitch booted Donald Trump for a long time. And the amazing thing to me, Sandy, is Mitch McConnell has done some things that have kind of helped Republicans. Think about it. When the United States Supreme Court seat was open, while Obama was president, who was it that prevented a Democrat, President Obama?
Well, yeah, Merrick Garland would be on the Supreme Court, but for what it is that was wrought by Mitch McConnell in terms of, you know, and he's, it was done, you know, with great hypocrisy. He announced then that while it's never happened that we've approved a nominee to the Supreme Court in the last year of a presidential term. And then now we had Amy Conan Barrett on, who was approved 2 months before the end of Donald Trump's term with Mitch McConnell's effort. OK, so, yeah, he did a lot to deliver, for instance, Supreme Court in the manner that was hoped for by the conservative Republicans. No, I mean, I think McConnell stepping down is the right thing, right? He's 82 years old. I've basically been a proponent of these old guys stepping aside, letting the new people come forward. But in the Republican Party, I think it's going to be an insight into what it is that's happening to that party, because, of course, it takes a majority of Republicans in the Senate to vote for the new leader. And that majority might well be responsive to the base, okay, this base that we talk about, which is the conservative base of the Republican Party. And so we'll end up with a new leader that is not reflective of a national view of things, but is only reflective of the most conservative side of the Republican Party.
So that conservative base of the Republican Party, Sandy, that we've seen all too much of lately, does it continue to, in your opinion, does it continue to destroy the future of the party, or does at some point in time the MAGA movement, after if Trump is defeated again, does it die? Or
I think parties are subject to Darwinian evolution, right? So I think the extent to which the MAGA movement might move the Republicans so far out of the mainstream that it fails to get to win elections to the U.S. Senate and to the presidency will have an impact on and will cause it to lose its grip on the party, I presume. If the Republican Party has a survival instinct, which I presume it does, it will move in the direction of survival. And what George Will was pointing out is the fact that the base of the Republican, this conservative base of the Republican Party, the MAGA group, keeps nominating people who are, in fact, losers. You know, they aren't winning elections.
Well, if you don't win elections, Sandy, what does that make you?
Makes you a loser.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Sandy said it. I did. 844-967-2789 is the number. You can join us. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said,
I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life. And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Pony, let the spinning wheel spin. You got no money and you got no home. Spinning wheel all alone. Talking about your troubles and you never learn. Ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheel turn.
Did you find all right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Last few minutes of a very rousing Sandy Williams show this Friday morning. Let's go to Don from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Don. You say what?
Good morning. Hey, enjoy the show. Quick a comment. I was just going to say, so you said about if you don't win elections, you're considered a loser. I think that's what you said. So that would make Mandela Barnes a loser, huh?
Well, I mean, he's a loser in that particular race, the Senate race. He's won many other races.
I'm just kidding here.
Oh, yeah.
it's a shame because that seat, that was right for the picking. You know, we just didn't have the right candidate there. I do believe that Sarah Godlewski would have beaten him. You know, it would have been tight, but it would have been tight. That's just my opinion, you know. Hey, okay, fellas.
Hey, Don, that's what we do. That's what we do on this show, Opinions. Thank you very much for the call. You know, though, Sandy, if just from where we are, you just keep watching year after year after year in elections and less people are voting, and less people feel like their votes matter. Long term, Sandy, we got to figure out a way to fix this, don't we?
Well, you know, the Biden election 2020, actually a record number of people voted. That was a big turnout. I think it was because of the ease of voting. You know, I think we could do a lot of things to make voting, you know, in Australia, they vote on Sunday, I think, or Saturday, and it's mandatory. You actually have to pay a fine if they don't vote. I think we should do everything we can to get a turnout. I suspect there's one party that would not favor taking steps to make sure that everybody turns out. I think that's part of the theory behind the stolen election. I think the real fact of the 2020 election was that a lot of people turned out, more people turned out, and it resulted in a different outcome than we had in 2016.
You know, Sandy, several years ago, you and I we're having a dialogue, and you talked about the fact that we've long since kind of grown beyond two parties. Do you foresee that changing?
It's hard with our electoral college system the way it is, and it's not a parliamentary system where the electoral college is expected to exercise discretion in the process of how they vote. So it gets harder because when you have multiple parties, you'll end up with an unlikelihood of having an electoral college majority, which will then shift things into the House of Representatives. And you know, at that point, it is parliamentary. So if you have an election decided by the House of Representatives and you have multiple parties, maybe it works.
Hey, Sandy. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I'm going to change the subject quickly. So the Republicans finally got Hunter Biden on the stand, and he threw him some curveballs. And they were asking him about his issues. He said, well, what about Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner? You know, you want to talk about me? What about Jared Kushner? What about and they clearly were kind of flummoxed. I guess they thought it was going to be easy. They thought they were going to get him on the stand and he was just going to knuckle under. But what are they expecting to get?
I think they just want to get in the news. They want to have news pieces that discuss Hunter Biden and the foibles of Hunter Biden in the hopes that it will erode support for Joe Biden. I suspect it does to some extent, but I think this is clearly a situation that has blown up in their face, and that they've been beating this drum quietly, indicating that at some point it'll start being a loud drumbeat that'll actually have some merit. And I think what's happened is the loud drumbeat is never going to happen because there is nothing to support it.
Gene, quickly. Good morning. Quickly, Gene. You say what?
Thank you guys for this great show. And it's only through education like yours and others on this station that people are going to understand what the devil's going on, because they're so busy with their lives, and listening to you guys is just wonderful. And people need to get their butts out and vote out the people that are working to destroy our government and our country. Because it's just my biased opinion. I've been watching for so long. You can't bomb us and things like that. But what you do is you put people in that won't vote, pass laws, do a budget, go after the people that are doing the right thing. And so that's why we need to get out and vote. And that's why you're so wonderful and educational for everybody. Thank you so much for your work and your time, and have a good weekend. Thank you. Bye.
Hey, Gene, thank you very much for that call. Hey, Calvin, print that. anyway, Sandy, I don't know what happened to the time. Always good to hang out with you, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be back in Milwaukee. See you on Tuesday.
Yeah, and it's going to be kind of balmy for us. 60 degrees this weekend.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's just normal winter weather.
Yeah. All right, we got to run. Thank you very much, man. Be safe. See you on the other side. Thank everybody who made the show go, Calvin, this entire week. As always, we couldn't do it without you. Up next, Greg Bach and Jane Mattenair and Mattenair on Air. Have a great weekend. See you guys on Monday.
Providing you with an eagle-eye view of what lacrosse is talking about. You're soaring with Eagle 1490. Tell a friend.
Tune in Friday. Devil's Advocates, we air the grievances. You could air yours each weekday right here across the Civic Media Network, 4 to 6 p.m.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete
Schwabba!
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Crews say they've made progress fighting the largest fire in Texas history. It's now 5%